the Runner's Diary podcast with Brian and Damien.
Welcome to Runner's Diary, episode 74. I'm Damien.
And I'm Brian. On this week's show, we'll have all the latest news, our featured fixtures.
And this week, our guest interview is with Hugh Armstrong. That's all to come on this week's episode of the Runner's Diary podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Pillar Performance.
Pillar Performance brings you the very best in sports micronutrition.
Hydration and fueling products will take you to the finish line, but Pillar will get you to the start line in your best condition over and over again.
As a Runner's Diary follower, you can avail a 15% discount online by using the promo code RUNNERSDIARY15 or go in store to the Edge in Kinsale Road, Cork, and mention this code at checkout when buying a Pillar Performance product. Right, so welcome everybody back again to this week. Only one place to start this week, Damien Kennealy, All-Ireland champion. Cup in his hand, would you believe it or not, people? I know you can't see it out there, but he has he's cuddling up to the cup. I don't know how they left you with that cup, but anyway, you still have it.
I won't go through the story how I have the cup, but it's gone tomorrow again from me. I have it for the night, so unbelievable weekend. I mean, like, just to stand on the pitch in Croke Park, Ryan, and to look around, and as the girls were warming up and, you know, just hand passing the ball with them, and, you know, it was it's dream stuff, and it is, honestly. And then, like, you know, I played obviously GA a long time ago, and, you know, Croke Park is the mecca for anybody who is GA or anything like that, so it's incredible. Obviously the girls had an unbelievable win, so impressive, scored 5-8 in an All-Ireland final. You know, penalty saved, penalty missed. So it had a bit of everything. But I made TG Carr, so anyone wants to go back, I'm on TG Carr, world famous and the whole lot. So, well,
I did see I was out and about on Saturday, and I was getting a few people sending me screenshots of you on the TV, and I didn't really want to see anyway. But yeah, we'll give you our moment in the sun. Well done.
No, look,
well,
it's done. Not my moment. It's not mine. And honestly,
well, you were part of it, in fairness. Yeah, so well done.
I will say this much: a massive well done to the girls. I know the whole of Glanmire is incredibly proud of them. We had 3 days of celebrations, homecoming yesterday and everything like that. So I will say a massive well done to them and their dedication. And we have obviously a neutral friend in Connor Quinlan, you know, who I think has made a massive difference within there as well. So, you know, that's the only time I'm going to talk about it now, because I know this is obviously a running show, so we're going to move on. But
that's it. You're not allowed to talk about GNO again.
That's it. How was your week, Brian? All good? All busy, I presume?
Busy, crazy busy, between work and kids' activities and Santa visits and name it. So the running was parked a small bit, but definitely over the holidays now I'm really going to kick back into it. And I will say one thing. Every year I do something, and I do it, and I'll do it again this year. I do, for the month of January, a 5K a day challenge. It generally turns out to be maybe a 5 mile a day challenge or more, but it's a great way to kickstart the year. And when you get into that kind of routine again, normally I kind of get back into some bit of fitness. So that's my New Year's resolution.
Yeah. And look, before we go into it, this is going to be a slightly different episode for people, so that they'll know. Obviously, we have our interview with Hugh Armstrong coming up, which, you know, it was really, really enjoyable. And he's a sound young fella, and young, 28 years old. Jesus, it's frightening.
Even you couldn't knock at me about age this week. We were both out of our depth.
But look, this week we're just going to go through a bit of news. We're going to go through our future fixtures. There's going to be no results because we're recording this in the middle of the week, and, you know, we both have absolutely busy weeks. So it's going to be slightly different. It's the last one as well, for people to know, till roughly around, you know, the 6th of January. So we're going to take about the 2 weeks off. And I think we slightly deserve that, Brian.
Yeah, we sure do. We sure do. Two other big bits of news. So news reached us also over the weekend of a famous man's shorts making a reappearance. So as we mentioned, Rory O'Hagan, who helps us out here, as you may know, there's a story about Rory shorts splitting right up the middle. A couple of weeks ago.
It was emotional. It was actually very emotional. It was emotional.
The man was destroyed himself.
Oh, honestly, I actually, you know, it was heartbreaking when I heard the news. These shorts are horrible to look at, but, you know, they're Rory's, and he's so proud of them. So, you know, we have to get behind him.
Rumor has it that Santa came early to Rory O'Hagan, though, and bought him a brand new pair of orange shorts, which made a reappearance last Sunday morning. There's photos of him out there. So he's back again, firing in all cylinders with the orange shorts now. So,
yeah, so he's no excuses. Cork Marathon next year again in orange shorts needs to be done. I think it's going to have to be done. So, Rory, we're delighted for you. Santa came early. You obviously were a good boy that you got them early. So, you know, that must be all the help that you've done with us and putting up with me on that episode, the Dublin
the
Marathon.
Bloopers.
So, yeah, so, you know, that's the reason why you got it. So, hopefully, plenty of PBs in your new orange shorts and, you know, over Christmas, and we've no doubt.
Okay, and I suppose other big-ish news that we'll touch on, and again, we're delighted, actually, I suppose, to get the exclusive on this one. We were the first to throw this one out there, that the Cork Marathon, I suppose, we're changing something for 2024, and as people know, you know, the Cork Marathon over the last couple of years, we're working with Davis Events Agency, and Davis Events Agency were the people behind the scene there, and we had some experience working with them ourselves as well here. So they're parting ways for 2024. What that actually means yet, we don't know, I suppose, but I suppose we'd watch the space. Look, as we saw when we announced that post, there was plenty of people coming in giving their feelings, letting their feelings know. Again, I suppose what's happened has happened. I'm kind of would like to look forward with great positivity to 2024, because I know the people who are involved behind the scenes, and they're running people. I did see comments, I think, on our page, but also on another page, I think on Cork Athletics page, you know, where people were commenting, oh, they should hand this over to running people or to running clubs. But I can tell you that it actually is. And there's more running people involved this year. I'm slightly involved in an advisory capacity with some other well-known people around who host races as well. I think there's about 9 runners involved in some form, and the organisation committee. So it very much is in the hands of running people.
And Brian, I will say this much as well. People need to slightly take out what happened last year, because I can guarantee you what happened last year is not going to happen this year. Last year was F up, which shouldn't have happened. There was people who didn't put their hands up, and you know, they're now gone. And as you said, there's people involved who are wholeheartedly love this event and, you know, want this event to be a success. And I think also, I will claim this, it's up to the clubs and up to people themselves to get behind this race, to support this race, because I think this could be it is the big one of the biggest events in Cork, and it should be, but we need to get behind it. And there's plans in place for that, and there is goals in mind with people. So I think sign up, be involved, be one of the many thousands of people who are going to make this a massive event.
And I'd add one more thing, and it's kind of like everything in life. You know, you can make a change if you want to get on the inside and help, or, you know, but you can't make a change if you're on the outside and criticizing. So I would say, you know, okay, we all pay our money and we expect an event. I do too. And I would also be the first to criticize if I thought an event wasn't done right. And obviously there was, as you said, huge mistakes made last year. And people were upset about it. And I suppose safety was put at risk in some ways as well. No, look, we're not the organizers. We don't own this, but all I'm just saying is, you know, I think as you just mentioned there, you know, 2024 with the people that I know are involved, something to look forward to, I think. And I certainly will be getting behind it anyway myself.
100%. And look, we and no, this is separate to Cork Marathon. We hope to be involved with Cork Marathon, but all that is obviously to be sorted. You know, we have already started touching base for ourselves for an after party again in it, and you know, everything like that. So like we want this event to succeed, and we want this event to be massive. So, you know, we'll get behind it.
And
so,
look, hopefully we'll have some of the key stakeholders on in 100%. The new year, early in the new year, give more about what's happening and maybe some of the lessons that was learned from last year and find out what has changed for this year. But yeah, look, we'll move forward. So as we said earlier, we have one more big competition coming up next week, but we won't announce that just yet. We're just putting the final details together.
But it's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a very good one.
It's going to be one that people will want to be involved in. This is not it's not going to be a race.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
centuries. I can tell you that straight off. But it's going to be a nice prize.
Yeah, I'm looking. Can I enter?
You cannot enter.
Oh, for God's sake.
And
I
I
want to win
can,
it.
and also Eilish can't enter and Sarah can't enter, so
There
you
you go.
can't win it that way, okay?
What if I
Well,
enter under a different name?
that's
No.
okay.
Right. But we do have a competition from last week. So again, thanks a million to St. Brendan's AC and Kerry there, who offered us two entries to their Tom Kelly 8K. That takes place on Sunday, January the 14th in Ardfort in County Kerry. And the lucky winners are Fiona Shine and Noreen Collins. So Fiona Shine and Noreen Collins, you'll be heading to Ardfort on Sunday, January the 14th for their Tom Kelly 8K that starts at 9:30. And for everybody else, again, I know people, New Year's resolutions are looking to get back into it. Look up the Tom Kelly 8K in Ardfort on Eventmaster or on their social media pages and get down there and take part in these
Yeah,
races.
or have a look on our website as well. We will have it. It's up there in last week's show notes, our show notes for last week, as well. So just keep an eye on it. And it really be brilliant to support these races because, in fairness, again, a massive thank you to any race who has helped us throughout the year. We really appreciate it, and people are getting something for free. It's a win-win for us, and it's a win-win for them, and I think it's a win-win for the clubs as well. So, massive thank you to everybody involved with it all year. We really do appreciate it, and best of luck to the winners in the competition in the race.
Yeah, and as I said, we're not going to give the results section. There was mainly kind of festive races over the last couple of days there, so we'll just move on to the featured fixtures for now. So again, thanks to I suppose Wellbeing, just to give them a shout out because we were skipping the results section now, but just thanks again for their support. But in the features fixtures section, we start off at the Farn Four. So again, this was a race competition we had a couple of weeks ago. So Farn Four Main Valley AC 5K takes place on the 26th of December. Again, this is a great race. It's a very fast course. So check out their Facebook page, Farn 4AC there, or Eventmaster for more
And
details on that
Brian,
one.
I think it's one of the longest running races in Ireland. Do you remember the first race of it?
I was there, yeah.
Yeah, were
It
you
was in
there?
black and
Were you
white.
black and white and all
Yeah,
that? I think,
yeah.
must have been roughly around the time you were born, I'd say,
That's
surely.
it, yeah.
You were probably in an old buggy being dragged along it. And the next race is, and very, very popular, Toker 5K. It's on the 31st of December, 11 a.m. start. This is obviously out in a very fast course as well. And hopefully conditions will play ball in the day and people will get plenty of PBs. Go to Eventmaster and type in Toker AC, or go to any of their social media pages, or, as I said, onto our website as well. The links will be to sign up in there. But give yourself a nice goal setting for New Year by going out and running a very fast 5K for yourself.
Yeah, same day. Obviously, we spoke about this already, but the Grange for my AC New Year's Eve 10K is on at 12 o'clock on New Year's Eve. So, again, another very popular race. Great course again there. And they give us two free entries as well. So, again, thanks to everybody with Grange for my. But again, check out their social media pages and Eventmaster again. So, all
Yeah.
these events are under Eventmaster if you're looking up.
And it looks like you'll be able to get down and meet Ryan Creech down there this year. It looks like he's already confirmed that he's going to run it. So, get down, get meet a hopefully future Olympian down there as well, who, will be running very fast times down in that. Next race is this week's competition, which is a Tom Kelly 8K from St. Brendan's AC, which is on 14th of January. This is going to be in memory of one of St. Brendan's AC founding memories, Tom Kelly, and this is the third year of the event. So it's going to be a very, very well supported race, and very much a community race. So again, if anybody wants a day out down in Ardfort in County Kerry, make sure you get down there. It's Kerry's a great place to go any time of year.
Exactly. And lastly, just to mention, because again, for those Parkrun followers out there, Parkrun have put up a schedule of what events are on over the Christmas period, both for Christmas and New Year's Day and things like that. So, the days around it, whenever they're on. So, again, go to the Parkrun website or to your local Parkrun page, I suppose, and find out what's the schedule for Christmas time.
Yep, exactly. So, with that,
Okay,
I think we
so.
move on to our interview. So, our interview today is brought to you by Shoe Rescue Sport. Now, Brian, I was, Eilish has always said that you're very, very smelly shoes,
No,
and
I'm
that
telling you,
you
it's all
run,
change. It's
you
all
run the
change.
stuff. But on a very serious note, like, I have been using Shoe Rescue for quite a while now, and it is actually a godsend. Very simple, little tub, throw it in, shake it up into the shoe a small bit, and next day it's absolutely perfect.
Yeah,
So
well,
you can pick
my
it.
big thing is that not alone are my shoes now smelling lovely, but the room I keep my shoes in are smelling lovely as
Oh,
well.
look at
So
that.
there you
Jeez, look at
go,
that.
two
There you
birds with
go.
one
Two,
stone.
that's it. And by the way, too, my boots were smelling lovely up in Croke Park.
There you go.
So,
Yeah.
but look, the Shoe Rescue is available on Amazon, and it's also available in shops throughout the country, mainly as well the DH Sports if anyone's out in Cork. But there's a list on our website. If you go into, there's a link to it to see which shops is available. And again, I know Shoe Rescue is new to us, so thank you very much to Eddie and the team in Shoe Rescue for the support, and we look forward to work with them in 2024.
Yeah, and with that note, we'll jump to our interview with Hugh Armstrong. Okay, so this week we're delighted to have Hugh Armstrong from Ballina AC join us on the podcast. This is the last podcast of the year, so you're in a strong position there, Hugh, of seeing out the year for us. So we need you to finish it out strong. So welcome to the podcast anyway, first starter.
Great, yeah, thanks very much for having me on. Yeah,
Yeah,
how you
delighted to
doing?
have you on. Yeah, absolutely thrilled to have you on again. Another person, as we kind of say most weeks, when we kind of introduce to the followers, that's some person is coming on. It's normally a bit of nice feedback we get. So again, there was a great response to your name being announced, and
Well, that's good, yeah.
yeah, it is good to hear that as well, I suppose. But
Yeah.
like we do every week, we're gonna start us off with the rapid fire questions. Are of late they're becoming not so rapid fire questions, but
Yeah.
we'll see how it goes with you anyway. So
That's very rapid.
Damon, yeah, Damon is going to join shortly. So we're going to kick it off, just myself and yourself for the moment, and
Yeah.
we'll see how we get through it. It's much better with just me anyway, I think, anyway. So
Yeah. We'll see what the
right, we'll drive it on. So the first one, road, track, or cross country?
cross country, I think. Although roads, I do like the road. I like running on grass. Yeah, it's a bit easier on the body. But yeah, I've done well on the roads. But I'll go across country. Yeah, it's my
Yeah,
first.
it's amazing how many runners actually we have on, and like no matter how much they talk about the cross country, they kind of pick cross country always, or the hillier routes and things like that. So yeah, there's something about these guys at the top level like the cross country, right?
It's where most people were made at the start, I suppose,
Yeah,
isn't it?
that's it, that's it. Does treadmill have you any love in your heart for treadmill running?
No. Well, I always hated treadmill running. I've got more recently, I've started to be a bit more tolerant of it, I suppose. That's all I'd say. But for a long time, I
Okay.
wouldn't touch a treadmill. Yeah, even when we piled up in snow in Providence, I'd prefer to just do laps of the indoor track or something. I was never a treadmill
So,
fan. Yeah.
your favorite shoe brand?
I'd probably go New Balance just because they always, when I was in Providence, they always supported us, so I had
Okay.
was getting free shoes off them for years, so I should
You have to give him a mention, so.
although I have worn the Nike Vaporflies just because that's what everyone was wearing in
Yeah.
more recent years in racing, but for a lot of the time for training I'd still wear the New Balance runners. Yeah.
Any particular make of the New Balance?
I've worn several different varieties of them. Yeah, I used to like, there used to be ones that they don't make anymore that I liked, so like the 890s, that were very good. I've worn the 680s lately too.
Very good, yeah.
There's a good few good shoes. Yeah, the ones that are more stable, I like them ones, not the too
Yeah.
soft. Yeah.
Good. Okay, next one, miles or kilometers?
I'd always use miles in training. Yeah,
Good. We
they're
like that. We like here. It shows a vintage, I think, when people go
less numbers.
miles.
Yeah. Maybe the time in America too. That's,
Yeah, that's it. Okay, this is a pretty new one we've added in lately too, and I hope it won't catch you out, but who's the most famous person in your phone contact list?
Oh, right. Yeah, I heard this one. I don't really know. It probably would depend who you're talking to too, because some people would be known here and maybe
Yeah.
they wouldn't be known elsewhere, or some of them might be known. I don't know, maybe
Be someone in the running community, maybe.
yeah, or maybe I don't know, it could be outside. Yeah, I have a few of the Mayo footballers maybe,
Sure,
or
that's good. That's good.
Andy Moran. Could I go?
Yeah,
Would
he's a good guy to have. Yeah,
it,
absolutely. Your
or some
favorite
Italian
distance?
people.
Your
Favorite
favorite dis
distance?
yeah.
I'd say, well, marathon is probably my best event, but the marathon, like, you can't run to, like, I kind of like a distance around 10 mile because you can at least train the week after and everything. You know, the marathon kind of like leaves you sore for a good while, you know.
Yeah, it's funny actually. I think a lot of people, an awful lot of people, would highlight a 10 mile as their favorite distance.
It's kind of a nice distance, yeah, for the distance, for the distance runners, yeah, that are kind of suited to the marathon, half marathon, yeah.
Very good. Your favorite race?
Favorite race that I've ran?
Yeah.
I quite liked the Dublin Marathon, so I did.
Okay.
It was my first marathon when I ran it in 2019, and there's a great home support, like an awful lot of people that know you at it, and there's good atmosphere in the city for it. Yeah, so I did like Dublin.
Yeah.
I liked like when I was in America, the indoor race in BU were very good too. You got a great atmosphere in them tracks, like when they let everyone out onto the outside lanes, and because it was
Oh,
indoors,
yes.
great noise and very fast track as well. I ran a good few PBs in the BU races.
Very good. Actually, we spoke about, I think there's similar events in the UK, isn't there? And we were kind of saying there was nothing really like it here in Ireland, I don't think, you know, where they do
Yeah,
it quite.
some of the 10Ks, yeah, where they let
Yeah.
the car, yeah, they're good,
Interesting.
yeah.
Yeah. Do you prefer training in hot or cold weather?
Probably hot, I'd say. Yeah, well, I suppose people go away to warm weather training camps, yeah, because it's a bit easier and nicer, but not too hot though. If
Yeah.
like, and I certainly don't like racing when it's mad hot, you know, in the
Yeah.
like in the summer.
We're not built for that. No.
Yeah.
Are you a morning runner or an evening runner?
Morning.
Morning runner. Okay. If you
Or
didn't
both.
run, what's that?
Often both, but
Often
morning.
both. Yeah. I understand. If you didn't run, you would.
If I didn't run, like as in a
Maybe
different
another
sport,
occupation or hobby or maybe.
well, I played other sports, maybe footballer or something like that, Gaelic footballer.
Maybe you would have to be Gaelic
Yeah,
footballer,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. If you had played, maybe Sam would have had arrived earlier with
yeah.
it.
Sometimes I say that. Yeah, I might
Yeah.
have to start playing for them before they win one.
There you go. You can't run without.
Choose, I suppose, or you
Okay, yeah, that's an answer we've had a good few times, yeah.
Thanks.
Your favorite book or movie? Sports related, I suppose.
Sports related. I've read a few sports. I wouldn't be that big of a reader either. Let me see what ones I thought were good.
If none, no problem.
Yeah, I'll think a bit more. I've read
Think
like
of.
Arsène Wenger was one of the last ones I read. So,
Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah. A different sport as well is often interesting as well. Yeah. Okay, this is the real cliffhanger one now. So again, hope we don't stump you here, but if you could take the place of another sporting person in their greatest moment, who would it be and why?
yeah, I know a lot of them are saying Messi lately with
Yeah.
the World Cup, but do you know what would be a good one as well would be Kipchoge running the sub 2 hour marathon, just because of it'd be amazing to feel just that strong and that fit.
Yeah.
Under
I'm amazed nobody has said that. Actually, you're the first to say that, which when you think you're talking to runners, you would expect someone to mention that, but that has
and
to,
then
it's the first time it's been mentioned.
the other one I was thinking of was I could stop at Dean Rock and maybe miss that free in 20 something
Well,
games.
that's
And
that
then
could
my own
be,
minute. Could I do
yeah,
that?
that could be another way of looking at it too, in
Yeah.
fairness. Yeah. Okay, so that's the rapid fire over and get to know you a small bit more anyway, but so. Look, obviously, you're a Mayo man, as you said, and a proud Mayo man by the sounds of it. And
Yeah.
Ballina AC is your club, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think from what I small little bit of research I did, they seem to be very proud of you as well in terms of you being a clubman and a man that puts back into the club from what I can see as well. But maybe you might take us through your earlier days of running and how you got into the sport.
Yeah. So I'm from just outside Ballinan, County Mayo, a place called Knockmore. And so I would have grown up, me and my brother, we would have played all kinds of sports. We would have played a lot of Gaelic football, played soccer for a bit, boxing, different things. But I suppose we start community games in Knockmore, would have started doing a bit of running. But then later on, maybe around under 10 or so, my father decided to bring us down to the athletic club in Ballina just to like try it out. But it was a decent, like it was a good 15-minute drive in and out. So it was a decent commitment from him, like, to bring us in. It was twice a week at the time. And he showed very good commitment to keep bringing us in, like, and then, you know, as time goes on, then you kind of start to enjoy it more. Like, you know, you get to know people in there. And would have came up through the ranks in Ballina SC without ever being that much of a standout now. I wouldn't have won too many medals, even at, like, Connacht's, or definitely not All-Ireland's. Occasionally, maybe with a team type of thing, you know. So
And
I would have
what
tried.
ages are you talking about here now when you kind of
Oh, coming up, like, under 10s, under 12s, under 14s, under 16s, all that. Maybe around, I suppose, when I was around 15 or 16, I kind of started putting a little bit more effort into the training for running it.
and like when you made that step, was there an impact in other sports? Were you still doing other sports, or did you have to drop sports then, or how did that
Yeah,
work?
I still did other sport. I played Gaelic football up to minor, and I played other things like soccer till around 16 as well. So yeah, no, I played other sports for a long time. Yeah, and like when I started first, kind of doing a bit extra training, I was just kind of making up myself, like, you know, kind of going for extra runs or making up a bit of a thing. But I wasn't really training properly till I started working with Dermot McDermott, who was a coach from Sligo SC when I was almost 17 by the time I started working with him. I was just at the start of the start of that cross country season of 2011, it would have been. And then he started setting more kind of proper training, and I started running with a good bit more mileage and that kind of thing, which I wouldn't have been doing, like, you know, going for runs that were like 50, 60 minutes long. Like, and I made a fairly big jump during those years. I had already made a jump just from doing my own bit, but then I made an even bigger jump, we'd say, those last 2 years of secondary school when I was working with Dermot. And then I was kind of getting up on, you know, on the podium at All Ireland's and that kind of thing. And in my final year then of secondary school, I finished second at it was the interclubs at the time. It used to be in February for cross country, and then the schools, which was only 2 or 3 weeks after. Sean Tobin beat me in both, and it was around that time I got the offer to go to Providence from Ray Tracy, and I also qualified for the European Juniors on the track in the 10,000 meters. At
Big
the time
step up, so
Yeah, it was, well, at the time it was 31:30 was the standard, which was fairly good going for a junior. I remember going up to Santry and just kind of doing it as a solo effort around the track, which was a fairly good run as a young fella.
And just before you kind of move on to the Providence days, I suppose, like, Dermot McDermott is a name I've heard a few times now as well, and seems to be kind of
Yeah.
well known on the scene. Tell us a bit about Dermot, maybe, because I think he has been very influential to a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, Dermot is a great fella. Yeah, he's great. Like, I think a lot of people that you see making it as senior athletes, you can see that they usually had a good coach, like when they were in secondary school or when they were an underage athlete. So I was very lucky to have met Dermot and worked with Dermot, and it kind of shows that sometimes, like, what it takes is to get an opportunity like that. You know, if I hadn't met Dermot and started linking up with him as a coach, then I probably wouldn't have, well, I wouldn't have made that improvement, and then I probably wouldn't have gone to Providence, and I wouldn't have made the improvements I made. So it's interesting how that works out, like. And
And I think as well, like, it's a kind of how would I say it? It's kind of a model that maybe needs to be copied a bit more, because I know in a previous episode we had Darren McElhaney and Michael Power and Evan Byrne on as well, and they talked about, you know, their school years in Creastree in Cork, and I know Northmonnagh in Cork as well would have been another home of great running with brother John Dooley as well, and things like that. So it seems these little nurseries that guys are getting picked up at that age of 15, 16 works, and somehow, you know.
And Dermot, like, so I was Ballina SC and he was Sligo SC, but he would have trained a good few athletes from around Connacht, especially North Connacht. Yeah, he just started to coach me, and he's very, very good. He was only young fella. Dermot was only about in his early 40s now, so at the time he probably was only just in his early 30s, like. So he was like a young coach, but very, very passionate, very interested in the sport, like very good at working with young people, like even small kids, and that he does a lot of summer camps. And he did that thing where he went around to all the schools, and still does it, and offered the two lanes in the Millrose Games for the prize of the winner, whoever was like the fastest kid running through the timing gates. So
That's
yeah,
great.
he's had a big impact on sport, I'd say, in Connacht, especially North Connacht, I'd say, like just with introducing kids into the sport and developing kids in the sport, you know, with all events really, like, because he would have coached sprinters, like he coaches at Lauren Cadden, who won the 200 meter last year at National Seniors. He would have coached a lot of sprinters,
Yeah, he's in
jumpers,
it.
all the way up to the distance runners, you know, all the way up to the marathon from the
He's
60.
another one on our list of people we need to catch up with sometime.
Yeah.
So we'll get there to him as well eventually. But so then I suppose you Providence came knocking, or tell us a bit about
Yeah.
how that unfolded, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think that was I probably have to thank Dermot for that as well, because he was very I know some coaches, maybe especially when they've made a good improvement with an athlete, they maybe want to keep the athlete on and keep coaching them as they have been doing, you know, saying, "Oh, this worked for you the last 2 years." But he was very much, "Oh no, you should move on to reach the next level," you know. And I was a little bit like not sure about going as a young fella, and my parents weren't that keen on me going either. But Dermot was very much encouraging and supportive of going. I think he had been in touch with Ray Tracy a bit in the lead up to that, kind of, and maybe a few other colleges, kind of trying to see would they take me on and that, you know.
And just to set the scene here, so you're 18 stroke 19, is it? And
I'm 18, yes, doing my leaving cert, yeah, in secondary school. So,
And like leaving home without, like, would you have been a bit of a home bird, or, you know, would
I
you?
would have, yeah. No, I was definitely a home bird when I was young fella. Yeah, even like moving up to Dublin for college, I would have thought as a fairly big move, you know, which it would have been like too. But I suppose when you're leaving home, you're leaving home anyway for going to college, you know. But yeah, I got the offer. It was the only offer I got for America, was Providence. I got it reasonably late. It would have been kind of March, April before I was talking to them, which is late, because a lot of them would have signed in like September, October time, especially the Americans would when they're going to college. So I was a late applicant, and I took my time. I spent a few weeks kind of thinking about it and looking at the pros and cons, but I'm definitely glad I went. Yeah, it was definitely a big opportunity and well worth going. And
And
yeah, I did a
was the Ray Tracy kind of was his name a kind of a name that you made your decision easier, or maybe Dermot's advice as well, or?
Yeah, both. Yeah. So I would have spoke a lot to Ray in the recruitment process. And obviously, it helped that he was an Irish coach, you know. So he would have looked after the Irish athletes. And just looking at all the history of Irish athletes going to Providence too, and all the names that had gone before me and done so well under his coaching, like, you know, and even now, there's a few Irish athletes doing very well out there. And at the time, there was too. A lot of good Irish athletes after just coming through, like, so you know, Mark Carroll, John Tracy, Ray himself, Keith Kelly, Roe McGettigan, and Mary Cullen, like there was loads, you know.
Big
And
names,
so it made sense to go, and I was definitely glad I went. Yeah, I never regretted it after. So
Sounds good. And okay, so you land there. Tell us, what was the typical kind of, what was the mix of academic versus athletics, I suppose?
yeah, so Providence would actually be a fairly strong academic school. So it would, I studied maths there, and it was a fairly competitive enough course for education. So in America, you pick your major, you pick your one subject as your major, but you also, a little bit more like secondary school here, you have to do several other subjects. So, Providence was a Catholic school, so we had to study like theology and philosophy and history, and like you had to do several like core competencies as well as your major subjects.
So it wasn't a case of just going there to run. So
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't a running calf. No, definitely not. No, it was hard work enough getting through the college. And then I did that for 4 years, and I also did an MBA for 2 years on top of it after. But that was just kind of a way of staying in the country for another bit, because I was liking it so much. So I stayed 6 years in Providence from 2013 to 2019. I was there.
Okay, 6 years, and take us through the running career in Providence then.
Yeah, so the first year I went out, now I found it tough enough. I found it a big step up, because and I find this is a thing that isn't really talked about. You're going over there, you're only 18, but you're racing lads that are 22, 23. So you're kind of used to, being in your age groups here. You're in the under 20s, or you're in the Irish schools. And I was probably just coming to a level where I was starting to get used to being up near the front in them races. And then you go over there and you suddenly get the big shock of you're way behind. I remember my first race getting totally blown apart over there. It's good for you too, because it gives you that bit of a kick up the arse that you're like, Jesus, I thought I was good, but I'm not good. That kind of way. You're kind of you realize you have to get an awful lot better in order to make it over there.
And like,
So
what was the typical training camps over there? Like, was it, you go to school, you go to the track, or how often would you have been training in those days?
we would have trained every day. My first year I was just on the running once a day. So you'd get up, you'd have your class. We'd usually train at 2:30 in the day on the weekdays, and then in the weekends we'd train in the mornings. Race training is a bit, it's different to a lot of, I know a lot of coaches do the weekly cycle and go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, long runs. But race training is far more flexible. Like, you could be doing anything on any day. Like, he doesn't go off weekly, so he goes off more of like a 12 or 14 day cycle. He kind of
Yeah,
just
interesting.
so some you might race, so say you maybe raced on a Saturday, you might maybe then you're doing a long run Monday, then you mightn't do your session till Wednesday or Thursday. And then if you did a session Thursday, then maybe you wouldn't do another, you might do a tempo then the following Tuesday. But you'd also do another long run that weekend, and you'd go fairly hard on the runs in between as well, because you can afford to, because your sessions are a good bit more spread out. And then the sessions end up being a good bit harder too, because they're so spread out. So you might say if you're racing every 2 weeks, you only do two, maybe three at the most sessions in between those two races.
Yeah.
And then you
And
get fit for your runs as well. So
what
that'd
were the
be.
distances you were kind of concentrating in?
So you do in the autumn time you'd run your cross country, which would be all 8Ks, with the last two races, then it'd be a 10K at the NCAA regionals and the NCAA nationals. They're
I got to
kind
jump in
of
here now, though. Is it the cross country like running on the golf course, or is it the cross country that we see here in Ireland?
Well, the Northeast is closer to Ireland than a lot of America would be. Didn't race on too many golf courses over there now. Maybe only once or twice I was on a golf course. A lot of the courses in the Northeast are actually, they're kind of a bit more like trails. And like there's courses like Franklin Park in Boston or Van Cortlandt Park, New York. They'd be grassy, but there'd be some trail, they're kind of rocky and roots of trees. And you'd have to wear short spikes on them, because you'd have to wear the rubber bottom spikes, because like the track spikes would actually, you'd actually hurt your feet on them, because they're so rough kind of courses, whereas here we'd have very much more the grassy courses. Now there's a few courses that'd be more grassy too, like Wisconsin or Terre Haute, Indiana, which would be the ones I'd prefer and probably ran better on when I was over there. But and then for the cross country, then the big thing I remember from my first couple of years was make the top seven, or the scoring. So it'd be five. It was five to score over there, and then seven to run. So for the first year, I wasn't even on this top seven. Like, that's how far back I
Competitive,
was.
right?
But we had a strong team. Now we were 16th, and then we were 13th at nationals. And we'd a women's team that won nationals my first year. So, but then by the time the senior year, I was our our best man, so
Okay. And what age are you then? You're
I was 22 by then,
22 then.
so
Yeah. Okay. You were looking down on the 18-year-olds then that were coming in,
yeah,
was
exactly, yeah, we're not looking to, but trying, hopefully that
it?
you'd be, you're the captain then, and they're kind of hopefully learning a bit from you, like you did from the older lads. Like when I started first, we had like Ben Connor and Shane Quinn and these fellas that were very, very good. But then on the indoor track, then it's just five. They do a 5K indoor, which they don't have over here. So I would have been like 3K and 5K indoor, and then 5K or 10K outdoor. That would be what I would have done mostly. I never really ran like 1500 or the mile when I was over there. So I made NCAAs my last 2 years in the 10K as well, the first round outdoors. So.
That must be a great experience too, that whole NCAA's atmosphere and
Oh, it is, yeah. No, it's a good system to like. They take the top 48 times in the East and the top 48 times in the West for every event. So, for the 10K, they just put 48 on the line at regionals and take the top 12 to go through to the final. So I finished 16th at that one. That was my best finish. So I was just 4 spots off making the final. So, but it's very good. Yeah, it's very good. It's very competitive as well, but it's a good.
Listen,
Know.
we got Damon joined us there now. I told you he'd make it at some stage, so
Eventually,
yeah, we're not too long into it. Yeah,
we're in Providence, Damon, going through where he was. I suppose you, as a senior there, then, like, were you at the peak of your powers at that stage in terms of your, obviously, in terms of your college running? But
and call it like so. I think I ran PBs in nearly every event each year I was out there, so my progression was fairly consistent and solid, throughout my time out there. I'd say my senior year and my third year, my third and fourth year were my two best years by a good bit out there. The year I was 16th at regionals, that was actually my third year. I finished further back my senior year, so. Sometimes it's funny, like the senior year. Well, I found anyway. I'd had a good, very good indoor season, but sometimes by the time you get to your senior year outdoors, you kind of get a bit worried, like, oh, this is my last chance. Like you kind of,
clutching
it's
for it.
different. Yeah, it's kind of different to, when you're racing just normal, like you're like, there's always a chance. Oh, I'll be back next year. Even as you're getting older, you always think you, but. There, for a fact that this could be my last race if I don't make it through, and it kind of you can kind of overreach a bit, which I think I maybe did that season a bit. I kind of I maybe overtrained or like kind of over got got over anxious about it being like my last goal, and I think I got a bit sick at one stage during that season and I maybe didn't recover from it. But yeah, in the end,
But you're trying to finish on that high, really, you aren't you? Like constantly,
I think so. Yeah. You kind
And
of have that bit more of that.
is Ray still working with you through all these years, and like he's still close contact to all athletes, is he, or what
He
way is
is,
that going?
I always got on very well. Phelan Kelly is coaching me now. But Ray would have coached me right up until the start of 2022. So I would have worked with Ray for eight and a half years or so. And I
Okay.
still stay in touch with Ray, like, and like give him a call or give him a message now and then,
Very good.
which is good. I know a lot of the other athletes I know that would have went to different colleges in America don't have that relationship with the coaches, so I think Ray is good like that
Yeah.
for.
Okay. So interesting. So it comes to the end of your Providence days then. Like, is that a big shock to the system that you've been in that kind of, you've come out of the school with Dermot and you've been in a very structured environment, and now you're in Providence and you're still in a very structured environment with Ray. And then you
It
come into your
is,
final year, yeah, and you're leaving that kind of squad.
It is a bit, yeah, and it can cause a bit, like what I do next, with anyone graduating college. Like, I think it was good that I made the decision to stay for the extra 2 years in Providence, then doing a master's. And a lot of people would have that fifth year of eligibility, if you've redshirted some season. I remember I expected to get an indoor season back when I was coming back for the master's. Because there was one indoor season where I'd only ran one race in December and then I had been sick, but they didn't give me the medical red shirt anyway, which is a different story. But I decided to come back anyway because I had been doing well, and because I had made such good improvement the last couple of years, I said, you know what, I'll just keep training here in the same environment and keep working with Ray. The only difference was I was now no longer on the scholarship, and I was far more broke for money and everything. But
Yeah, you're becoming like Van Wilder in college. Is it just any reason to stay in there?
But I got like a part-time job working in the campus, which is something you can do, and that covered my cost of my classes, and it covered my rent, but it was very little money apart from that I was left with. So at least when you're finished college, then though, you can, because in the NCAA they're very strict on the amateurism and that you cannot make any money. So at least when I had no longer had eligibility, I was able to go and run road races, and I like make a few bob that way, that kind of thing, on weekends. So.
And is there any difference in road racing over there to what we would see here?
Not
Local
really.
to
It'd be
us, no?
similar enough. Sometimes people comment about road races over here that most people you see run a road race over here are some way a little bit serious. Like, you see most of them doing a bit of a warm up and a few strides, whereas a lot more people over there just show up and run the thing, just for the crack. Like, I think there's more of a serious running scene over here. Amongst,
I think a lot of the races in America are sponsored by beer companies, so maybe people are
that
turning
kind
up
of
for the free
yeah,
beer.
that kind of effort you see over there, but yeah.
And okay, so like you have an unbelievable CV of coaches, so you move from Ray Tracy then and back to Phelan, I suppose, here. Like, sorry, you move back to Ireland at some stage, obviously, as well.
Yeah, so during those couple of years, the first year when I was doing the masters, what I found good as well was that when you were no longer in the NCAA, you could pick and choose your races a good bit more. Like, you weren't locked into that race in every 2 weeks, which is, I think that's a little bit more races than I'd like to run, especially for a distance runner. I kind of like to get that little bit more of a block of training between races. And like the first season that I was outside the system, when I was able to get more weeks of race training together, I was able to. That was the year I came home and ran the Eurocross, and finished 19th in 2017. So, I did well with it there. Yeah. So I came home then in 2019, and it ended up being good timing for coming home because we obviously had COVID coming in just at the start of 2020. So luckily, I just missed, like, I got my good college experience without it being impacted by that or anything. And I continued working with Ray then when I came home first because I was training for the Dublin Marathon, which I mentioned earlier in 2019, which was to be my first marathon. So I stuck with Ray for the marathon training, and Ray's marathon training was very good.
And sorry, you how did you find the step up in the marathon training from the college training?
Well, the training I would have done was always very strength based. A lot of race training would involve like fairly high mileage, like good quality long runs, good quality long tempos. Obviously, the marathon training was a step up, but it was the sort of training I enjoyed and I liked, and I had done the few half marathons for the couple of years before that, so I think I was ready at that stage. I ran my first marathon just after I turned 25, so I think I was always fairly well built for the marathon. Like, Dermot McDermott would always have said, "Oh, you're going to be a marathon runner," So I thought at that time, I thought there was no point waiting. Like, if I was looking to qualify for 2020, which ended up being 2021 Olympics, it was Dublin was the one to run, especially with the points that were going that year for the national championship. So I actually enjoyed my first marathon very much, yeah, because
Not many do.
well, when I went home that time, I didn't start working as soon as I came home. I started a job then in November, just after the marathon, actually. So I actually had the experience of training full time for that, and I just lived at home in Mayo during that period, and did the training from Ray remotely. I did a bit of Dermot helped me out a good bit with that too. I would have went up to Sligo for some of the sessions with him,
And it
but.
makes a big difference in marathon training when you can give yourself that recovery in between, the runs and, like the tough, intense sessions and long sessions that you could just chill out on the couch, watch Netflix and just relax.
Yeah, like some of them 20 or 22 mile long runs, them are some of my favorite sessions actually, you know, with the wind up and that. You know, I like that kind of you're not going too, you're going for long, but not too. I kind of you find you get into a fairly good flow on them sort of ones, you know, we kind of wind up from 6:30 to 6 minute pace to 5:30. You know, that'd be the kind of effort we do in those.
And your
I
first
like
marathon, you came in at, I think I know the time, but just to remind us.
2:14 in Dublin, 2:14:22, yeah,
That's some debut.
which was only good enough for third, actually. And the day I Scullion was 2:12 and Clahaussy was 2:13, so it was a very deep Dublin marathon that year, yeah. But it was a very nice day in Dublin that day, so there was a lot of
That
fast.
was actually I done it that year. That was a great day. That was the day Aoife won it as well.
It's fairly perfect,
So you know, it was actually great. Look, great conditions. It's just pretty a shit race, but that's all right.
yeah.
Yeah, like you had Sean Hare ran 2:16, Owen Totten ran 2:16, Gary Hanlon ran 2:16. Probably leaving out someone else who had a great run, but there was loads of good runs. It was a very deep field that day, yeah. So that was a good race, yeah. Good debut.
So, from a marathon perspective, if we just look at that for a while, you ran 2:14 there, but you obviously went on to better things. So, how many marathons have you done now?
I've done four.
Four, yeah. Take us through quickly, maybe the four, but
So,
obviously your PB time would be one of great interest as well.
yeah, so then my second marathon then was Seville or Sevilla in February 2020. So it more or less I did my recovery from Dublin and then more or less kind of started training for Seville because at the time after running the 2:14, I was fairly sure, oh, if I run another one around as good as that, or maybe a bit better, I'd have a great chance of getting in with the points. Because at the time, people we didn't realize that everyone was going to run the 2:11:30 standard. So,
And can I ask, actually, sorry to go back a bit there, but when you ran your debut marathon and you ran at 2:14, and again, your first marathon, and like a lot of lesser runners, where we finish absolutely knackered and collapsing on the ground, how like and you can't
I
practice
was
that.
collapsing on the ground.
Yeah, that's saying you can't practice that, but how did that feel for you?
Well, geez, well, it hurts, like, yeah,
Yeah.
it was painful, yeah, like, especially those last 5 or 6 miles, like, you know, like, I enjoyed it for, when I say I enjoyed it, you know, the first 18 miles, you know, when you're feeling good, it's enjoyable, but then when it's coming towards the end and, you know, you're
So
starting to speed
you're the
up,
same
you know,
as all of us, so basically that's okay.
yes, but,
yeah, these elite runners are normal as well.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I trained for Seville then, and I actually moved up to Dublin at that stage. So I started a job then in the November, fairly shortly after Dublin, which is the job I'm still in with On Post, and it's a job in finance and accounting. And I just finished this year my accounting exams, which were 4 years long of a thing. So they were hard work enough, the ACA exams, but I was training in still training with Ray, and then I would do, have done most of my, I was living near the Phoenix Park and would have done most of my training there. And so then in February 2020, I ran 2:12 in Seville, 2:12:26. But I was going for the Olympic time at the 2:11:30, and I was in the group. Kevin Seward was in that race too. He ran 2:10 that day, and I was running with all of that group up till about 30K, and I was still fairly well on for the standard at I think between 20 and 30K I probably reached a bit too. I think we ran like 30:20 something or something a bit too quick anyway. And then I think from 40K to the end around 7:26, and that was where I lost the 2:11:30 to running the 2:12. So very, if I'd ran the standard that time, it would have been very interesting because then we would have had four lads with the standard, you know. Because
I remember the last time that happened.
We won't speculate on what what
We
who's
had
had
that
last
last
week,
week.
you know. Which they wouldn't have thought would have happened when they made the standard up to 2:11:30, but then when the Olympics were postponed the year, I thought, oh great, I'm going to have another chance of running the standard. And I was training really well throughout the lockdown, and just in that kind of January 2021 time, I was in even better shape. I was in the best shape I was ever in, but just there was no races on. And then I was kind of extending my marathon block, and then I injured myself very badly in January 21 and ended up missing the full year of 2021 with I'd a sacrum stress fracture in the right side, and then I got a second one in the left side later in around July of that year. So that was
I don't think that was a problem for a lot of people during COVID and stuff like that. Was like the overtraining aspect of it, because a lot of people had a lot of time in their hands, and it was just like, right. I know, especially you with a massive goal, obviously, as well, trying to make the Olympics. You know, I think everyone just could have, a lot of people pushed themselves that little bit too much
Yeah,
for
especially
themselves.
given I was so close to it. Like I knew I had it in me to maybe get it. I just thought, oh, maybe just a little bit more of a push, like, you know, and then just I didn't have the races to break up the training, and you know, I probably
Yeah,
just overreached that bit.
it's funny actually, because I just thinking now as you're saying it, but like even on a local level here, I know guys as well who the exact same thing, who I think because they weren't through that natural cycling of running a race and then you're coming down off the race where you recover for a couple of weeks, so they were constantly training every week at a pretty high level or at least high distances, and you know, they weren't coming down off the race after a race to take a couple of weeks off or whatever it be. So yeah, it's amazing how many people did burn out or get injured that time. Yeah.
And even after I got injured, I still couldn't switch myself off that well of
Right.
from into like a recovery mode. Like I was still like wasn't giving up on the Olympics yet, you know, like if I knew what I knew now about the seriousness of the injury, like I was kind of totally underestimating it. You know, I was going mad cross training, like getting up real early, you know, even with swimming pools closed, I was getting Mayo County Council were opening a pool, especially for me and a few other elite athletes. Again, I was getting up like at
Stupid o'clock.
6 in the morning, yeah, going up before work which there was no need for, you know, like I could have been, and then going off, tearing off on a bike in the evening with a bed, with a broken bone in my back, like, you know, I didn't need to be doing that, you know, I should have been recovering, like, you know, and I proved it by getting another stress fracture, like as I came back. So, you know, it was just hard for me to give up on the thing, you know, to realize that this was going to put an end to it. You know, it was a 12 or 14 week injury, those, you know.
And especially you were so close, as you said, you know, you were in touch and distance.
But yeah, that started a bit of a cycle of injury for me now, the last 3 years, really, because in the last since the start of 21 till now, the last 3 years, I've probably only trained for about 1 year in 2 6 month spells. So the first 6 month spell was the start of 22. So this is when I moved to train with Phelan, because throughout the lockdowns, I moved back down to Mayo for 2 years during the lockdown years of 2020, 2021. And then just at the start of 22, I moved back up to Dublin, because we were going to be back in the office 2 days a week for work. And I started training with Phelan Kelly and the Dublin Track Club.
And how has that experience been for you? Because like I we've chatted to a few people who are associated with Phelan, and like they're the
Big praise.
praise the man gets is just incredible.
Well, I give him more praise. Yeah, it's been great. Very enjoyable training with a group, first of all. You know, it was difficult doing all that training on my own. And then Phelan is very, 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 very passionate about the sport, puts an awful lot of effort into it that people don't realize. You know, I think sometimes people see Phelan and, you know, the way he goes out, you know, shouting and roaring and so passionate, but they don't realize how organized he is as well, and how much effort he'll put into, like, just like contacting all his athletes all the time, like texting them, calling them.
Takes
Like
a
he'll spend
personal
hours.
interest.
Yeah, he'll spend hours researching something. You know, if you have some injury or some issue, like he'll spend hours researching all different things he could try that might help. Like, and he'll send you all these different articles and read them himself. Like he's very, very good. Yeah, and spends a lot of time looking up different types of training. Like if you go to his house, it's almost like a library of some kind of, you know, trying to different sports books. Like yeah,
But his success shows that, and his
yeah.
success with his athletes, like, because and the training group you have at the moment is just incredible to be able to run alongside some of these lads. You know, it's just
I
You're
know,
going
I know.
there and just like, we can't run bad, but we've this group going together.
And we all bring each other on as well, like, like even look at all the national records he has, like,
Yeah.
and again, like I was talking about, in all the different events, like you're going from Mark English in the 800, and then you have all your 1500 runners like Coskeran and Paul Robinson, then you have like Brian in the 5K and Michelle Finn in the steeple, and then all the way up to like myself in the marathon, Sean Tobin in the marathon now as well. Like he's a big range of events there, yeah, and it, training is very, and his training is keeps it simple as well. Goes on the weekly cycle, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then long run Sunday. But it's very, very effective, yeah. Yeah, I found it very good linking in with Phelan. So that was at the start of 2022, and then that was when I ran my third marathon. Then was in April of that year, so that was when I finally got myself back training, back healthy, and I said we'd have a, we said we'd have a crack at the it was 2:14:30 for the European Championships, which was in summer 22, was the standard. So I went to Cheshire, the Wrexham one that they had for a couple of years when London was cancelled, and I went and won it and 2:14:04,
That's right.
and that was a good win because like Scullion was in that race that day, he dropped out. Phil Sessman was in it. Well, he was pacing, but he only brought us 11 miles as well. So there was very good athletes finding it difficult that day.
Yeah.
It was reasonably windy, like fairly. I ended up like after Phil dropped out at 11 miles, I ran 15 miles completely solo and like held the pace. I was probably it. I ran to a low 2:14, but it was probably as good a value as my PB because of how less like Seville was obviously perfect conditions and had a big group to run with the whole time. But that day was far from ideal course or conditions, and I was like solo on the thing. So,
I think you had a lot of family support that day, if I
yeah, I did.
assume.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah,
The
yeah.
UK
My
family, is it?
yes. Some well, my father and mother and my brother came over to it, but I also have an auntie Bridie in Manchester who came to watch it, and her daughter, my cousin. So,
You couldn't let Auntie Brady down, in fairness, no, like.
no. And then, yeah, Jake O'Regan as well won the half marathon that day. I remember I had travelled over with him, so we had a fairly. And then
A
Fionnuala
nice
Ross won
double
the half.
celebrations.
Yeah, so we had a fairly good day for the Irish that day, and my time actually was a Welsh all-comers record that day too,
That's right.
which was another
Good
one. Yeah.
job. And
Do you, the European Championships then? I actually remember I met you at the finish line because I was over
oh
there
yeah,
with Aoife and Mark, and
I was in bad shape.
I
Yeah.
don't think you could see literally anything in front of you. You
Yeah.
were just shaking hands and just there was nothing behind the eyes. But like it was so hot. It was a
Yeah. That was my
brutal
fourth,
race.
yeah, so that was my fourth of the four marathons. So I recovered after Cheshire, and then there wasn't that much time before I had to get going again for the championships in August. But about a month out from the championship, I was on a camp in Fontremont, and my Achilles flared up fairly badly. I had been having this kind of Achilles tendonitis kind of down the side of the foot, the peroneal, but it flared up really badly about a month out. So the last month leading into that championship, I wasn't really training properly. I was more just trying to manage myself that I'd be all right to run on the day. So to be honest, like I just wasn't fit enough for running another marathon, and my body wasn't healthy enough probably to do. I just, because it was a championship, because it was running for Ireland, my first, it was going to be
Yeah.
my first summer championship for Ireland, I'd said I'd go and run it. But to be honest, I'm not going to say I shouldn't have, because I don't regret it, because I got to run for Ireland. But like I just wasn't, yeah, I wasn't in shape, like I wasn't ready for it, like
And he definitely didn't help.
the heat didn't help, but I don't think that was the biggest factor in
Yeah, yeah.
I think I ran 2:24 or 2:25. I think I came through in like 67 something. So I went out. I remember looking at the splits after, and I was running like 5 minute 5:0 something pace for a good bit. But then Like it suddenly went fairly ugly looking last bits. I
Yeah.
think
And
I
that's
think.
the problem when there's something that's something not right. You can do it for a certain point, and then all of a sudden, just the wheels will come off.
Yeah, after 30K that day, I was just goosed altogether. Yeah, it was just trying to finish it, and thankfully, I was able to finish it. But I think I did a good bit of damage to myself that day, and I was well, like my I
Yeah.
was
And did you take long to recover after that then?
a long, long time. I was like I was up till Christmas, just kind of trying to get myself back jogging, and still sore. Like it was. It was kind of Achilles, and then it was coming up the leg, like my hamstring was bad. Like I remember having like no power off my left side at all by the end of that race. I was just like running on one, I was like my legs weren't working, and I'd taken a few painkillers, so it was kind of almost numb to the pain, but I just wasn't getting any work off the legs that day. But for a long, long time after, and I was like ages like trying to rehab and get the Achilles right and get the hamstring and glute back working with a bit of power in them again. But and just around Christmas time then of that year 2022, which was going on for 6 months after, I got back. I had done one or two, so I'd done one or two tempos, but I was still not really feeling that great. And then I got another sacrum. It wasn't a sacrum stress fracture, but a sacrum stress response. So this was around this time last year, in December of last year. So that obviously knocked me back again. Now, luckily it wasn't fractured, but it still took a long time to heal. Like I remember even trying to come back doing a bit of jogging in like it must have been around March, and still being a bit sore, and then getting it scanned again and them saying it wasn't fully healed, like so just by the time I was back training rightly after Munich, it was almost a year later, like it was
And like I'm going to jump forward because I do think it's just shows the strength that you have, like to go from that, from injuries after injuries, and then to come along to the cross country and to come out what was an absolutely brutal day and to come third overall, and the names behind you are just like incredible. And with all the, you came from kind of slightly nowhere for a lot of people, as in under the radar because of the injuries and everything like that. Did you know you had that in you, or did the conditions kind of play to your strengths a little bit?
Well, it was one of the sweetest races I have had that day at Nationals, just because like earlier on in the year, you just almost felt like I was dead, like I had bad back and bad hip and bad knee and bad Achilles and bad hand, and then I almost
Old
felt like
age.
and I was like, Jesus, what age am I? I was like, I'm 28, not 48, and then I kind of, it was a very gradual comeback. And then just, I remember the week of the race, I was speaking to my father on the phone, and he was like saying, how are you feeling for the race? And I said to him, I feel like I've already had a victory here just by being on the line. I kind of felt like I was de so delighted to be back in a race at a national championship level. And it was true, and it was a very good attitude to go into the race with. Like I knew I had trained reasonably well, but I'm training with the likes, like Brian Fay and Sean Tobin and these lads, and I knew like Brian in any training session was a good bit ahead of me, and Sean was probably similar to me, but probably ahead of me too. I knew going in I was fairly well up against it, but then I knew I also had finally put a good few good weeks of training together and had a good few hard effort. I'd ran the Connacht Championships and won them and that kind of thing. So if you had offered me third, like before the race, now I would have taken the hand off you and said, absolutely delighted. After the race, I was kind of like, the only pity was I didn't win the thing, like because it ended up being a very good opportunity
And
for me.
you weren't far off. You really was it 6 seconds or something like that, wasn't it, or something like,
That
was
was
it?
all, yeah. And I think at one stage of the race, I had a fairly good bit of a lead too. Like I went out. I wasn't really up near the front the first lap or lap and a half or so. But then I just saw, like, when I saw the conditions, I kind of almost like smiled because I just saw the chaos happening all around me. And I was like, this I think will suit me, like, because there was a lot of people I think beaten by the conditions that day. I kind of, maybe threw in the towel a bit when they saw the conditions. Like, but whereas I was kind of like, this is good because this is going to slow the pace down, and it was going to give me a so it gave me the chance to kind of. I know, like, a lot of people in cross country races, they like to run the first lap, the start of the race really hard, and then the end of the race really hard. Whereas I think where I can kind of make hay in a race like that is kind of, and I did it at both at the Nationals and at Eurocrosses, in the middle few laps, kind of come when people are trying to settle a bit. And that was where at Nationals, kind of the middle few laps, where I made my way up to the front, maybe around 3K in. And I find when you go to the front in a race, you might as well push on the pace, because there's no point just sitting at the front and letting people take the wind. So I just went to the front and I said, you know what, I'll push it on a bit. And I pushed it on a bit, and next thing I was looking around and I had a good, someone showed you like a 5 meter lead, and I was like saying, where is everyone here? Like, because I knew how strong the field was. Like, I knew it was the strongest field in here. Now, then Dalton and Kevin McCare and Keelan and them fellas like reeled me back in again. But it was, and I knew at that stage I kind of had blown the field apart enough that I was probably going to get a medal or make the team at that stage, because I knew it was the sort of day, once athletes got that bit of a lead, it was going to be very hard to catch up to them. Like, it wasn't going to be.
Yeah, the energy you have to exert in that mud is just next to near impossible.
And then you were like sinking deep into the mud. Like, I saw some of them like almost having to take their two hands to pull their legs back out. Like, it was a day, I think, that definitely suited like the bigger, stronger athletes. Like, it didn't suit some of the smaller athletes, maybe like Brian or McElhinney or Ephraim or these sort of lads. The likes of Dalton now or Mulcair, we're probably bigger men, like, and probably a bit more strength, like from the marathon stuff and that,
Yeah, exactly. And then how was it to represent Ireland in the Eurocross?
Oh, it was great, yeah. It's great to be back at that level, earlier on in the year, like, I wouldn't have thought it as well. That'd be, and I was like that kind of during the race, when it was, when you're finding it tough during the race, I was kind of telling myself, well, this is what I wanted to do, when you're kind of feeling the pain, you're kind of like, this is what you wanted to do, this is what you would have dreamed of earlier on in the year, is getting back here to this level and getting back on the team. So.
And they don't come around that often, you have to take them as minute you have, you need to work your socks off to make sure you earned it.
That's exactly, because I remember when the last time I was on the team was 2017, when I was only 23. I was only my first year out of under 23s. And at the time, you think, and I finished 19th that year, and at the time you think, oh, I'll be on this team loads of times, but then, like, each year something, either it was either injury or I was concentrating on a marathon instead, or the thing was cancelled due to COVID, there was whatever the 4 or 5 years in between, there was something came up each year that caused me not to run the cross country. So then when I was back there now as a 29-year-old, and I'm suddenly the oldest fella on the team, I was the oldest fella on the team. I think the next young oldest was Mulcair, who's 26. Like, and I'm kind of saying, you enjoy it and appreciate it that bit more, and then, when we were fourth, this time, there was that little bit of regret, that we didn't win the medal, because you realize, like, this opportunity mightn't come, that, Norway were missing Ingebrigtsen, like, Britain were a little bit weak when we beat them, and we were in the middle position with a lap to go and two laps to go, but I don't know, there was a little bit of, we lost by 13 points, so we would have each had to come up by 4 or 5 spots.
Yeah, which is a big jump.
But then when I watched the race back, I saw there was only 10 seconds between me and 20th and 10th. So that, if you were to say, oh, I'll run the race again, you might say, oh, I would be able to come up 6 seconds. You might say, because Ingebrigtsen came from behind me and he was like 25th and he came up to 12th in the last lap, but when I watched the back, I saw those spots were all right there if you had a good finish in you, so. But I ran it kind of the way I said I ran the net. Like, I think I was 55th after one lap, and I came all the way up to, I made good progress in the middle laps. I was up 15th at one stage.
Right.
So if I heard we'd lost it, by only 2 or 3 points, and I knew that I went 15th, but that would have killed me. Like, if I thought that I had cost them the medal by losing them a couple of spots, like,
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose you are 28, you're still a very, very young man, like, and hopefully you get plenty more opportunities to wear the Irish singlet as well. But in terms of,
definitely.
in terms of, again, like, you have a 2:12, 26 PB, which is a phenomenal time. There's not too many ahead of you there. What next? Is it marathon again, or is it?
Yeah, I'm going to have a go at the marathon. Yeah, so the thinking was this time, like, how I was saying earlier, when I came back from the first year I had off injured, in 2022, we kind of went straight into a marathon block going for Munich. Whereas this time we said we'd keep it back for a bit and train for the cross country, which I think was better, like, rather than chasing a marathon again, which and then maybe injuring yourself again, because the marathon training is very severe on the body. Like, so now that I've had a fairly good spell injury free, the plan is I've entered now for Valencia 10K in January, and then I'm hoping to get into the Barcelona half in February, because if I am going to have a crack at the Olympic time, you're probably going to need two performances, unless you're on the 208.20, which is, a very going to be very difficult.
Yeah,
So,
it's a big jump up. It's like we said before, it's a madness, but no.
So hopefully it'll go back to the rankers. I know there's a good few that already have the time got, but you're probably going to you can get in. Like, it's I'm because I've no mark down in 2023. I'm probably it'd be too much now to try and get two marathons in. So the hope is that we can, if we get a very good half in February, then we'd look at a marathon maybe in April, something like either London or Rotterdam or Hamburg, one of them sort of ones, and then just see what we can do. Like, there's also European Championships next summer, which is going to be a half marathon in, and I think that's what the standard is for that. But I think there's an A and a B standard, but and there's a team event in that too. So that might be we're coming closer to getting the medals in them team events, like I was saying there. And so that's my goal for the spring season now. Yeah.
Very good, very good. Hugh, it's been an absolute pleasure. I think we could even go on for another bit, because I know there's other things we didn't even touch on, but I'm conscious that we've taken up a good bit of your time as well. So I think we'll be watching 2024 very, very closely, and
Yeah,
hopefully,
hopefully.
fingers crossed for you that you stay injury free and achieve what I think we all know you can achieve as well. So
Yeah, that's the main thing, staying healthy, isn't it? Yeah.
yeah,
Then,
definitely so. Yeah, definitely so. The Pride of Ballina, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much. Yeah, thanks very much for having me on.
Cheers,
Yeah,
cheers,
great talking
Brilliant.
to you. Yeah, enjoyed
Cheers,
it.
thanks. Okay, so thanks a minute to Hugh there. That was really jam-packed with stuff. Again, great to go through his career. Again, as you said, a very young man, 28 years old. So hopefully many big days ahead for Hugh yet. I think the first West of Ireland person we spoke to, is it?
I'd say
In
so,
Connacht,
definitely.
I
Yeah.
think. I think,
Yeah.
yeah, maybe I
Yeah.
could be wrong. Stand corrected there, but hopefully we'll get a few more now.
Lovely. Great.
Yeah.
As you said, like, a great CV of coaches, a great CV himself.
Yeah.
Really lovely fella. Obviously, I'm looking forward to some back, because I missed over half
Yeah.
of it.
As I said in the bit you missed, that it's not really better without you anyway. So the first half was way better than the second half.
I wouldn't disagree with that for a second. But look, a
Yeah.
massive thanks to you for coming on and giving his time again. Especially this week. Look, this is a very, very, very busy week for everybody. And we do appreciate it so much. But this is obviously our last episode, till probably the first, I feel on the 6th or 7th of January, I think, again, is when we'll be back. Gonna take a couple of weeks off. We're gonna try to recuperate and, try to get actually do some running, Brian.
There you go. Yeah. Is there any,
So,
did you think any more about that run on January 1st? Will I be seeing you out my way?
no, he definitely won't be.
Okay. Right. I was getting a welcoming party to meet you and everything.
No,
No.
I'm back running. This is being recorded on, what is it, Tuesday? So I'll be back running on the Wednesday. So people should see activity on my Strava from the last couple of days. If not, I just couldn't be
Yeah.
arsed. So, right, with
Okay,
that.
before we finish up, I suppose, look, thanks to everybody throughout the year. Look, the growth we've had in this year has been absolutely off the scales, beyond our, we couldn't have imagined, what our weekly listenership and the spread on social media, et cetera, et cetera. It's been a great year for the Runner's Diary podcast. We've been helped a lot by, obviously, our sponsors, Pillar Performance, Shoe Rescue joining us there the last couple of weeks. We're delighted to have them on board. Wellbeing obviously has been with us there for a lot of the year as well. But to anybody who's helped us throughout the year, there's been various events we've had, all the guests we've had on who've come on the podcast, who've also come to the events that we've held throughout the year. We've had some charity events which have been fantastically supported. But I suppose most importantly, to the listeners themselves and those followers that we have who've helped us grow. So, let's hope we'll have a as good 2024. We've some big ideas. We're already talking to some people about some ideas we have. As we said already, we have a big competition coming up before the end of the year as well. So hopefully we'll be able to give out some bit of more good news
Yeah.
before the end of the year.
But the one thing, Brian, that I would say is that for 2024, I would encourage people to get more involved with, sit giving the questions and, sending in guest ideas and, send us in as much information as you can, club results, club races. So like we are trying to give as much information as we can, but we can't do that without the help of everybody as well. So really encourage people to get involved next year and to help us to grow the show, because I do honestly believe, right, it is beneficial to a lot of people, clubs and, organizations and everything like that. And we are here to help anybody we can. And, again, as Brian said, massive thank you to everybody who was listening so far. Two people I think deserve a really massive thank you, and that's Rory O'Hagan, who has been incredible for us all year, and Jonathan Kennedy, who has been unbelievable all year as well with us as well. So the two lads, in fairness, and I mean this literally, without them, we would be goosed.
We better give a shout out to Andy as well, I suppose, for
Oh, do we have
chipping in
to?
every now and again.
We have to.
Yeah,
We I'm possibly
he's our ambassador, is that what we call him?
ambassador, yeah. We have to call him a different word though as well, if we want. But no, look, and of course Andy as well, because he has fallen in for us when we haven't been around and everything like that, and is always annoying us as well, so it's great for him as well. But look, happy Christmas everybody. Happy
Happy
New Year.
Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Christmas to you, Damon. Happy New Year,
Same to
and
you.
we'll be running well in the new year, guaranteed.
We'll see you all in 2024.